This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go on a Saturday morning. Welcome into Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell, and it is so good to be back in studio after having the past couple of weeks off. I just want to open up our morning's program with sending our sincere condolences and prayers to our good friends here in Texas that who have had to go through a lot over the past 2 weeks. So we hope our program over the next 2 hours is very encouraging. We've got some incredible guests. We're going to talk some NFL news and notes, some college football. Spring practice will be underway before you know it. And also the big news about Tiger this week. So some PGA news and notes. Always great to have in studio. And I certainly have missed him, my new best friend. And that is Jack McCraw. Give him a follow on Twitter at the Jack McCraw. Hello, Jack. Did you survive?
I did survive. Few pipes busted at my house, but it's been fixed and everything is back to normal at the McCraw residence.
Well, we are all trending in the right direction, and that is good news. Certainly, speaking of prayers, we are thinking about Tiger Woods as he is recovering from some significant injuries in the auto accident. It's just chilling when I heard the news. What was your reaction?
My reaction is I just hope that he's okay. And from my understanding is that he had multiple leg fractures and a shattered ankle. They had to put a rod in one of his legs. So my thoughts and prayers are him that hopefully he can be able to walk again. I think golf should come secondary at this point. I think Tiger should just focus on his health. And I don't even know if we'll ever see him on the golf course again, but I just hope that he gets back to a normal life, E.
There are still so many unknowns, but, you know, we think of in the NFL, I mean, Alex Smith and how he was able to make just that incredible comeback.
I think it would be I think it would be the greatest sports story of all time if Tiger Woods was able to return to a golf club and swing a golf club again, E. But like we said, thoughts and prayers are definitely with Tiger Woods right now. That car accident looked really bad, and they had to use the jaws of life to rescue him. I wish him nothing but the best for his rehab and rehabilitation, and can't wait to see him walking again.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about that in this morning's program. We are so glad you're with us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Coming up next, we're going to talk some college football. We're going to Norman, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, once again, having one of the top signing classes in the country. Come on back to Sports Map Radio Network.
Is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back with you on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell, and many different ways to connect. You can always join us live on Twitter at eRadioSports, info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com. It is so great to be back in studio after a couple of weeks off, and it's always great to recognize the folks that make it happen at Sports Map Radio Network, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Did you know a weak battery can leave you stranded? So don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that you need that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low, low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, in our next segment, it is time to roll up our sleeves, and we're going to talk some college football, specifically the Oklahoma Sooners. They are always at the top and stand out on National Signing Day, and it's so good to have back with us. That is legendary radio host and writer James Hale from Total Sports. You can dial him in on sportstalk1400.com, 11 to 2, Monday through Friday, and also subscribe to his podcast at Patreon, Patreon Diehard Sooner Reports. Hello, James.
Hey, how are you, and did you survive the winter blast throughout the state of Texas? What a disaster. I'm praying for you guys, and I hope everybody's going to be okay.
Hey, it was crazy. We did survive the Arctic blast. No power, no water, but James, of all things, I found an indoor hitting facility that was close by a hospital that actually had power and water. So Eli got 4 days of being on a track, man, indoors. It was pretty cool.
You're the greatest mama bear ever. You and my daughter. My daughter found a place that she was able to, and it's snowing in Colorado, but they're used to it in Colorado, you know. So they just rent an indoor facility. And so I go, well, you know, I guess Ella's not playing. She goes, but my daughter goes, Dad, you know, she's got more work than you have. I guarantee it. She got in 2 or 3 hours of pitching and hitting, and she's good. And I said, okay. And so all the bears of the world are the best.
Absolutely. Hey, glad you're with us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Our very special guest is James Hale, host of Total Sports. And so, you know, Jay, we've not had a chance to kind of recap National Signing Day that took place earlier this month. So what were some of your biggest takeaways? I know that Oklahoma did add a number of players in the early signing period in the month of December. Get us up to speed.
Well, that's what Oklahoma did. They signed 16 guys in the early signing period, and then they struck out on every other recruit they were going after in the second signing period. So that cost OU a few spots. But OU made it up with transfers, and I assume you'll get into that a little bit later. But the average rank per player at OU in this class is outstanding. So they're ranked 11th with just the 16, and with 16 – it's hard to be ranked. You know, usually you're going against other classes. They got 23, 24, 25. But OU did this, you know, strategically because they didn't, they cherry picked. They went out and got the guys they really wanted. They just didn't take everybody. And they decided to go after better athletes this year. And they struck out on a few. They signed a few. They did sign the number one player in the country in Caleb Williams, quarterback out of Gonzaga High School in Washington, D.C., five-star. An elite player, and they got other outstanding players as well, I'm sure we'll get into. But, you know, that stood out to me, how good they really are. It also stood out to me that the Big 12 did not do very well at all. Texas is the only other program that's ranked in the top 20, and every other program's 28th or worse. And, you know, this has been a trend with the Big 12 conference over the last 2 or 3 years. It's got to stop if the Big 12 wants to remain competitive. And I know a lot. All those seniors came back at Iowa State last year, and you know a lot of players have decided to come back and take advantage of the extra year in college football coming up. But the recruiting classes won't hold weight with those schools if they don't start, you know, doing better in that area. Yeah, they can get transfers in, they can get JUCOs in, but you've got to do better in the high school ranks. I was shocked Iowa State didn't do better in recruiting this year. I mean, that just floored me. They had a great year. Coach Campbell's considered one of the best, but they're having trouble recruiting, and so I wonder if they can sustain it. But, you know, the schools that recruit the best are the schools that continue to do well, and that's just the way it is. Alabama had the number one class. Clemson was great last year. You know, those teams will continue to be really good because they continue to rank, and they continue to, you know, recruit very well. You know, some people hate the ratings. I look at the ratings and say it's a futuristic look of how college football is going to go. I mean, Alabama's had these great classes forever. Well, they're the top team in the country. So when you really break it down and look at it, Ohio State's really good every year. LSU had that magical year 2 years ago because they got a quarterback. Georgia is always making a run. Clemson has been one of the elite teams the last couple of years. Oregon's recruiting in the top 10. Texas A&M's recruiting in the top 10. Well, they had their best year in a long time last year. So I think it always plays. I think it really does. Oklahoma really is a top five class with their 16. They've got to be tickled pink. And not only that, 10 of those guys showed up early. They're going through spring ball. So talk about a boost to a program. Not only do you sign a highly anticipated athletic class, but they're early. They're going to be competing for jobs right away. That just boosts the talent level at OU.
How has the early signing period impacted programs with their approach to recruiting? How has that changed throughout the years?
Well, what it's done is that you usually have out of your recruiting class 70 or 80% of it that knows they really want to do, and they just want to get it over with. And so what this does, it allows them to sign early because they know they want to be a part of the Sooners or all these programs they're signing early with. And that allows that program to not, you know, spend a lot of money continued to recruit them. The only time they would go see them at that point is if the head coach hasn't been in their home yet. And it allows the programs to concentrate on the few players that they're still recruiting for whatever reason. And I think it's been a big benefit. Now, it's changed our world, you know, the way we cover it and everything. We don't even have a press conference for the first signing period. And yet, you know, the first signing period is when most of the guys are signing. At Oklahoma, Lincoln will have it after the second signing period. He didn't have anybody else to talk about the second time, you know, but we did, you know, have some transfers that came in. So it was kind of an interesting deal, but it's been a good thing. I can't say it hasn't been. It hasn't been a good thing for the media necessarily, but, you know, it's been a good thing. It allows the universities to, you know, really close out the class with the guys they know really want to be part of the program. You'll find out in a hurry. If a kid won't sign early with you, then he's really not committed to you, or he's thinking about doing something else. And so I think this has taken a lot of the guesswork out of it. And you still have some drama in the second signing period. There's always four or five players that hold out and want to wait until that period. But, you know, the majority of your class, the class you know that's really going to show up and sign, will sign early, and then you know what kind of class you really have. Then if you can add to it, great. But if you can't, like in Oklahoma's case this year, they still have a great class.
Hey, we're so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show, going one-on-one with James Hale, legendary radio voice. You can check him out, Total Sports, 11 to 2, Monday through Friday at sportstalk1400.com. So let's talk about the number of transfers coming out of that transfer portal. As I understand, Oklahoma landed 3 in the top 10. That is huge. Are these guys immediate difference makers? And that will be the key, what for Oklahoma to try to get to the college football playoffs?
Well, they got 3, you know, from Tennessee. Wanya Morris, a tackle that's already started 19 games of college football, and OU needed another tackle in the program because Adrian Ely had left OU early, try his luck in the National Football League. So getting Morris gets them, he's the most experienced tackle right now on the roster. So I don't know if he'll win the job. I would anticipate he's really going to be in the mix, and he's probably got a chance to, I would say he's probably going to win the right or left tackle job. You know, that's a great get. Eric Gray is a running back that Oklahoma got in on late. They really didn't recruit him late. Now, Morris, they had recruited before he signed with Tennessee. The same thing with Key Lawrence, a safety that they got. It really looks like $1 million. In fact, Alex Grinch said, you know, the only thing that didn't happen for us in the recruiting with Lawrence is he didn't sign with us, because now that he's back, it was like that we just continued the recruiting process. And so they got 3 really good players from Tennessee that's really going to help. They got Congle, an offensive lineman from Arizona, that has also started like 16, 17 games. Creed Humphrey goes pro. You get Chris Murray last year from UCLA. He actually played this past season. And, you know, I before Congle got there, I anticipated Murray would be the starting center. Now, I think they'll battle for the position, and so that's a positive. Then they also got a quarterback balance from Penn State that didn't play last year at all at Penn State. He decided he didn't want to go in that direction. Lincoln had stayed in touch with him during the recruiting process, but because Caleb Williams was coming in, you know, that's the guy that they were going to get. But Ballins was looking for a place to play. He and Lincoln, you know, got together again, and he decided to come to Oklahoma, even though Spencer Rattler and Caleb Williams are there. Then they got 2 walk-on quarterbacks that were coming in, as well as Ben Harris, you know, is one of those guys. And so, you know, it was really, you did a great job filling in the holes that they didn't get during the second signing period with the transfer students, and they will come in immediately. All 5 of those guys are there. 6 of those guys are there. 2 are preferred walk-ons. Balance is on scholarship, and so are the 3 guys from Tennessee, and so is Congle. So it fills out the recruiting class, and it also fills some holes. I mean, you get a tackle, you get another inside offensive lineman that could really help you. You get a safety that will be a bigger, better version of what you have already. And so Oklahoma did a great job in the, I think probably, I can't imagine another school. And other schools got key guys in, but nobody was able to do what Oklahoma was able to do in the transfer portal this year.
Our Big 12 College Football Report continues with James Hale after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Right now, let's go back inside the huddle with James Hale, host of Total Sports. You know, James, you talked about one of the biggest additions, of course, was the primary backup for Spencer Rattler, and that is Caleb Williams. Pull back the curtain on him. What can you share about this young man? And also, what's the message from the coaches? How do you manage this guy as far as allowing him to be patient? Because I know he wants reps. He wants reps. And he wants to get out on the field and play.
Well, he really does. It's going to be interesting. I call him a professional high school football player. I've never seen a high school kid go about his business like Caleb Williams did and his family did. They were a business-like recruiting process. They did everything the right way. Caleb liked Oklahoma, and Oklahoma had got another four-star commitment out of a quarterback out of Georgia, and they called Caleb and said, okay, we've got our quarterback. Caleb still came out and visited Oklahoma because he said, hey, coach, you know, a lot of things can happen. I really like you guys. I want to come out and look. So before the visits were shut down, he and his family came out, and he had a great visit. And he basically told Lincoln, hey, I'm going to stay. I'm going to continue to think about you guys. If something breaks, let me know. Now, how professional is that? That's businesslike, right? Okay, the quarterback eventually, you know, decommits and he goes to Georgia. And here's Caleb Williams. Lincoln calls him immediately and says, okay, I've got the opening. Caleb says, I'm very interested. We'll come back out. So they came out twice before the pandemic hit. Then they came out on their own when the pandemic did hit. And he put together a recruiting weekend, and he invited a lot of other players down, and on their own dime, they all came down and visited. Now, Caleb was already committed at that point, and it was played out on national media when he did commit. So, I mean, I've never seen a kid like this. You know, he moved to Norman as soon as he committed, stayed in school virtually in Gonzaga, which is a very tough high school to graduate from, and is now enrolled at OU, which he got permission from the NCAA to enroll and actually be a dual student at OU and at Gonzaga High School. That's never been done at a Gonzaga, and they've been a charter school for over 100 years. So then he got a personal trainer. He moved into an apartment. He's got guys coming over to his house all the time. So he's immediately ingrained himself into what Oklahoma's doing. Now, Spencer Rattler is your starting quarterback. You got two future NFL quarterbacks on your roster that are both number one players in the country their respective years. I think Caleb is so mature and so professional. He's going to push Spencer. He's going to compete for the job. He knows in his heart he probably won't get it this year, but he'll be a guy that helps Spencer Rattler lead this football team this year. And he'll be a good leader. He'll be a positive leader. And I'm not sure OU is going to have to do a lot to work with him. I think he'll stay healthy, happy. I think he'll be ingrained. They'll get him in his four games, but he'll redshirt this year. If something happens to Spencer, they'll have a primetime quarterback to step in and play. I think it's a win-win, and I think Caleb Williams will make sure it's a win-win at OU.
Let's talk about the starting quarterback for Oklahoma. You've mentioned him several times in Spencer Rattler. Just an assessment of the season that he had, and also what is the focus leading up to spring ball?
Well, Spencer just needs to get better. I mean, he was really good last year, really good. But with any quarterback, they should improve a bunch from their freshman to their sophomore year. So whatever that maturation process is, he needs to hit it, and he needs to hit it head on. He needs to become a better leader. Last year, I think that, you know, he led, but he's a little bit of a different individual. He's not a hollerer or a screamer, but he, you know, he's not a guy that will jump down a player's throat. But I think he needs to do a little bit more of that. You know, and I think the team expects him to. They're going through their offseason, and they're going through a process they call Championship Week or Hell Week. And it's a series of drills, and it's just, it's not necessarily football, but it's pushing a sled, you know, picking up the big tire, you know, can the quarterbacks beat the safeties? And, you know, and it's a competition that OU puts on. And Lincoln Riley feels these are really important. But he finds out who his leaders are. And Spencer needs to be one of those guys. And I hear he's trying to be that way. Caleb is a natural leader. And you hear that he's really doing a lot of that. Spencer's got some of the best arm talent I've ever seen. I mean, OU's had Heisman Trophy winners, Jason White, Sam Bradford, you know, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. And yet Spencer is up there with all those guys in arm talent if he's not a little better. So here you get a savant that comes in, and you've had great quarterback play since Lincoln's been the coach, but Bob Stoops had great quarterback play too. And you've had all those guys in there, and yet here's a guy that comes in, and he maybe has better arm talent than those guys. So he's really good. He's really talented. You know, he's one out of all the national contenders. He's Oklahoma's the school with the quarterback coming back, and they just don't have a QB. They have a great QB coming back. So if he works, he's got great work ethic. If he does that, he'll be as good from the first to the second time. He'll be better this year, and he'll be a great addition. He'll be a great player for OU.
Our special guest this morning is James Hale from Total Sports. Check him out, sportstalk1400.com. We also want to pause and, Jay, connect with our audience. And where can they go to find out your live podcast with Patreon?
Well, just Google Die Hard Sooner Reporter, James Hale, Die Hard Sooner Report. I do 3 to 5 podcasts a day on OU sports. You'll always get a football report. You'll always get a football recruiting report. Then we'll also attack whatever other sports are going in. There's so many sports going in the spring. I mean, every morning I'm doing 5, 6 podcasts a day trying to capture all of them. And I'm trying to come up with some creative ways I can be more efficient as well. I mean, that's what the pandemic has done. You've got everything. We've got volleyball starting at OU this spring. I mean, you know, volleyball's a fall sport, right? But no, it's a spring sport this year. So it's been kind of interesting. But you'll get all that information. A lot of, you know, websites and a lot of sites outside of the school site won't cover the women's sports or some of the other sports. But I do. I love women's athletics. It's incredibly joyful to watch things that are going on in that in the women's games, and we'll have it all at Die Hard Sooner Report. It's not very expensive. You'll find that you'll get a lot for the money when you pick up Die Hard Sooner Report.
And how about my Sooner women picking up a win down in Fort Worth at TCU? Let's quickly transition. Some of the biggest offseason news here in the Big 12 Conference took place in Austin, and Texas's hiring of Steve Sarkisian. So was he the best coaching hire in college football in the offseason, and was he the best fit for Texas?
I don't know. Not necessarily. I don't know if he was the best college football hire. Now, Alabama had a great run for 2 years when he was the offensive coordinator, but is that because of the Jimmys and the Joes, or is that because of Sarkisian? Sarkisian is an interesting coach in that he's been better as a coordinator than he has been as a head coach so far. I mean, he's had two other opportunities. You know, he was at Washington, then he got the job at USC, then had the personal problems and the personal issues. You know, Nick Saban does what he's done so many times. He took him in and, you know, put him on his own staff and let him, you know, kind of recharge his battery. Same thing he just did with Mike Stoops, who's now the defensive coordinator at Florida Atlantic. And Sarkisian had a great, you know, 2-year run, and maybe it was 3. But, you know, Alabama had some of its best offensive football. So it correlates. So he's certainly a well-known guy. And Texas has a well-known guy. And I like what Sarkisian has done. He's come in, and he's put together a really good staff. And he's kind of cherry-picked, and Saban hates this when coaches do that, but he took 3 or 4 coaches off Nick Saban's staff. And so he's trying to bring that culture of Alabama, you know, down to Texas.
Check him out, Total Sports 11 to 2, Monday through Friday, 1400 KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. Hey, James, have a lot of fun this afternoon at the Lloyd Noble Center with some bedlam. We'll catch up soon. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, E. Appreciate it. Have a great day. See ya.
Bet, stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We are so glad you are with us on this weekend. We'd love to connect. Join us live on Twitter at eRadioSports. Info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com. And I tell you what, a week. But fortunately, the PGA Tour is underway in Florida at the 2021 WGC Workday Championship at the Concession. We're going to talk about that. Of course, it was originally scheduled in Mexico, but moved to Bradenton, Florida as the result of COVID-19 travel restrictions. So it's certainly an impressive course, and some of the world's best golfers are being tested right now. But the biggest news this week, of course, is on 15-time major winner Tiger Woods, who was seriously injured in a car accident on Monday and now recovering from significant orthopedic injuries to his lower right leg and ankle. So we are all continuing to pray. We're wondering and waiting to see what will happen next. Always a pleasure to have back with us at Sports Map Radio Network, and that is former PGA Tour player, the great Larry Miller, who's going to provide some insight on this week's happenings. Hello, Larry. Good us.
Good morning, everyone. Great to be back talking some golf.
What was your initial reaction when you heard the devastating news about Tiger Woods?
Well, I think everybody was in shock when they first heard it. It's a very shocking thing, and then it's sad. I felt pretty sad about it, considering the fact that the way he's tried to fight back from not only physical problems and some personal issues, but the way that he sort of tried to change his the way he interacts with people and his image and everything else, and it seems like everything was on an upswing for him, and even coming back, you know, from another back surgery and maybe competing again, even at Augusta, and given all that, you know, to have this happen at this time, just, you know, devastating and kind of sad. Really, it's almost a, you know, it's like he's a tragic figure, you know, and despite all the success and fame and everything else, these bad things happen. And, you know, it's just a tragedy.
We are Inside the Ropes with former PGA pro Larry Miller, who joins us each and every week at our network, Sports Map Radio. So as we talk about Tiger, I mean, we don't like to speculate. There are so many unknowns, and all of us, we just love and revere him. We're just going to have to be patient. But how do you think Tiger will handle this going forward? I mean, he's got a long road ahead of him, a long recovery.
Well, we all know what a fighter he is and how much resolve, mental strength that he has. And it's going to be up to him. If he decides that he wants to put in the effort to try to rehabilitate himself and come back somewhat, you know, if he's willing to put the effort forth, he certainly has the wherewithal to be able to make a lot of progress. Now, given that, the particulars of his injuries in regard to golf and the golf swing, swinging a golf club, at my club, New Orleans Country Club, we have some three or four orthopedic surgeons, one of which is very, very renowned in the country. In fact, he's the one that performed I had major back surgery 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, and he's the one that performed mine and did a miraculous job. And I mean, it's like nothing ever happened with me, but I was very lucky. But talking to these three or four orthopedic surgeons at my club, the consensus seems to be, you know, after finding out what the details of the injuries were, the consensus among those experts seemed to be that the best case scenario for him seems to be that he'll be able to maybe play a little golf with his son again and on that level. Now, you know, no one that I've talked to that is considered an expert in these matters, and these guys certainly are, no one really expects him to be able to play PGA Tour level competitive golf again, because not just this accident, but the buildup of everything else on top of it or preceding it. And in particular, it's on his right leg and his right ankle. And in the golf swing, you know, on the backswing, if you're right-handed, you have to load up on that right side And then, more importantly, you have to be able to push and fire off of that right foot, lower right leg, and the entire right leg on the downswing as you go into the ground and then force yourself through the ball with that thrust of that right side. And there's just no way that he's going to be able to generate the same amount of power and speed that he did before. And for that reason, to play PGA Tour level competitive golf, it would be beyond miraculous. So now, of course, you know, there's the unknown. Look at Ben Hogan. They said he wouldn't ever play golf again, and he won 6 majors after that accident. But the injuries that Hogan had are a lot different than these injuries. These injuries are more, they pertain more to the golf swing mechanics, being, you know, because of that right ankle, right foot, right leg. And so it's very doubtful that you know, hopefully he'll be able to play golf again. They're saying it's going to be maybe 3 months before he can even walk. And then another 6 or 7 or 8 months before, you know, he can walk normally and put any kind of real pressure on that leg. So anyway, a lot of mystery going forward, and a lot of mystery as to what happened too. When you think about that, you know, he never did hit the brakes. I have a state trooper here that I'm friends with, and he told me that when you have an accident like that with not hitting the brakes, no skid marks, it means probably 90% chance of distraction. What is that? Is that a cell phone distraction or a radio or something, or an animal running across the road? But it's usually a distraction. The other 10% would be a medical situation, you know, of some kind. So still a lot to learn, a lot to know, but certainly everybody who loves golf wishes him the best for this recovery.
Larry, you have spent a lot of time playing golf in California, in the Los Angeles area. We've all seen the footage. Are you familiar with that particular road? As I said, you know, you've spent time there. I mean, it really is. They say there's a high frequency of accidents there, but it's a miracle he's alive.
Yeah, it is. And I have been on that road in the past. It's been years, and, you know, I'm not that specific with the memory, but I have been there and driven on that. And listening to the troopers, you know, deputies, you know, it's a curving road. It's downhill somewhat. People speed. You know, you put speed along with cell phones and radios, fooling with the radio, changing the station, flipping to another song, you know, hitting the fast forward button. The cell phone, you know, so many accidents involve cell phones. And there's so many cars on the road now, too. That's another thing. You know, it's just everywhere you go, it's just like packed with like sardines with the traffic. And so you combine speed and traffic and distractions like that. And yeah, it's a recipe for disaster. And hopefully, you know, Tiger's saying right now he has no recollection of the accident. Maybe he will start having some recollection as to what happened, and we might find out. Maybe we won't. But let me share one thing with you that that a state trooper said, that if you're going 60 miles an hour and you look down at your cell phone for 5 seconds, you have traveled over 2.5 football fields. That's a lot of space, and a lot of things can happen in that space. And so I hope, you know, anybody listening out there stresses to themselves and their children how important it is to put the cell phone in the glove compartment till you get where you're going.
Larry, it's just like being on the golf course, safety first, right? Yes, sir.
Exactly. Safety first, arrive alive, you know, get there safely. That's the main thing. Then you can do all the texting you want.
Hey, we are Inside the Ropes with former PGA pro Larry Miller, who's joining us on this Saturday at Sports Map Radio Network. We continue to talk about Tiger Woods, and it really was remarkable just to see all the well wishes, the prayers from across the world, from Jack Nicklaus to Phil Mickelson, but also like Alex Rodriguez, Steph Curry, Baker Mayfield, Mike Tyson, and Magic Johnson. So what does this say, Larry, about the legendary golfer in Tiger Woods? I mean, obviously, many of us believe that he is the greatest athlete of all time, an iconic figure of our lifetime.
Well, he's in a rare club, a very rare club of athletes that have reached that status, that level. And Muhammad Ali was one. And, Michael Jordan and now Tiger Woods. And these people, they stand on a pedestal of their own. They're, as you said, they're iconic figures, and their records vindicate that. They speak to, for themselves. When you think that Woods, Tiger Woods, made 142 consecutive cuts in PGA Tour events, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. He had 89 straight rounds where his score was lower than the field scoring average that day. 89 in a row. The next best was 16 times. When you think about it and the way he dominated, it's just, you know, it's Michael Jordan-ish and Muhammad Ali-ish. And it's on that level of iconic sports figures. And so I think he's got the respect of anyone who's ever played the game of golf. And, you know, he's had adversities, some self-imposed and others not. And who hasn't? You know, it's a world where people make mistakes, but seems like he's maybe has taken advantage of another chance to become better at that part of his life, and so once again, as I said in the beginning, to have this happen now, it's really sad. It's tragic and it's sad, and you just hope that that somehow he can come back and have good quality of life again, you know, for the rest of his life.
You know, what is it about Tiger that resonates with so many of us and just this fascination? It doesn't all come down to winning. I mean, what is it about Tiger?
Well, I think it's just, you know, if you think about the greats, Nicklaus and Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, it's not just the scores and the victories, you know, it's the way they go about it. It's a different way that they operate than the average person, and it's an ability to have laser focus at the right times, at just the right times, I just equate it with mental strength and mental toughness, and I don't know, I don't know if you can get that through training of some kind or if it's just kind of inbred, and I tend to think it's in your emotional makeup. It's in the way in your DNA, because otherwise you would have a lot more of these iconic special figures than you do. And so it's a rare, very rare thing. And I think it's a combination of physical skills as well as something in the DNA that enables them to play their very best at the biggest moments, where most people, that's when they crumble. And so I think that's one thing that makes them very special.
We love Tiger Woods. He has just done so many things that one might think is impossible. And, of course, we can't forget, I mean, completed one of the sport's greatest comebacks by winning the Masters. So let's transition now, Larry, and let's talk about the WGC Championship that is underway right now in Florida. There's been a lot of talk about this golf course, the concession. Like, have you played it? What makes it so difficult? I mean, it's been a big topic this week.
Yeah, I have not played the golf course, but I know a lot of people that have and have talked to them about it, and it's the greens there that makes it difficult. Tee to green, it's nothing extremely difficult, but the greens are very severe. They're kind of like Seminole Club down in Florida, where they have sharp edges and lots of undulations and mounds in the greens. Depends on how fast they want to get them. Typically for these tour events, you know, you might see them at 12, 13, sometimes 14 in a U.S. Open. But if they're on the fast side, and then of course, if you get some wind there, which you quite often do down there in Florida, but if you get some wind along with those sharp edge greens that are fast, throw some wind in there, which dries them out even more. And the greens are exposed, and it's a real difficult thing to putt these greens. I think it's going to give a lot of the players fits trying to putt the greens. Now, tee to green, they're not going to have any problem. I mean, the way they hit it now and as far as they hit it, the angles they can take, they're going to have lots of wedges and short irons. But then what happens when you get on the green?
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back. Hour one, we are inside the ropes with former PGA pro Larry Miller. Hey, we are wrapping up our time inside the ropes with former PGA pro Larry Miller. We only have about 60 seconds. Give me a quick hit. We got to talk to Max Homa. He wins on his favorite golf course. So, Larry, let's have some fun. Like, what is your Riviera golf course? What's your favorite course to play on?
Ooh, well, my favorite course to play on is Cypress Point up there in Monterey Peninsula, you know, up in the Pebble Beach area. And it's, you know, if you ask all the tour players their favorite course in the world, you're going to, 8 out of 10 are going to tell you Cypress Point, because it's a special place. It's basically what it is. It's 18 signature holes, if you can imagine that. You can make a postcard of any one of the holes. It's just a magical golf course. It used to be in the rotation for the Crosby, but they took it out. It's very private, extremely private, very hard to get on. But if you get the chance to play it, don't miss it, because it's the it'll be the round of your life.
He always makes our weekend that much better. That is Larry Miller, Inside the Ropes, former PGA pro. Check out his website, LarryMillerGolf.com. Have a great weekend with Connie. And Larry, we look forward to another conversation next week. Take care, my friend.
Great. You all, too. Have a great week. Thank you.
Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, Hour 2, coming up next.